For those of you from Oklahoma, you might call it malachi. Malachi, this evening, chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2. Tonight, we're going to have a very difficult topic to address, and we're going to talk about understanding divorce. This is obviously not my favorite thing to talk about, and I think a lot of pastors and teachers try to avoid this topic, which, to be quite frank, may be one of the reasons we're in the condition we're in our country today. And I don't want to shy away from anything that's in the Bible. Certainly, divorce is a real problem in the world today. They say that about half of marriages end in divorce. The divorce rate is about 50%. Now, that's very discouraging. They say the number of divorces is on the decline, though, but I wouldn't get too excited about that. The reason there's not as many number-wise is because not that many people are getting married now. People have figured out that you can just live together as though you're married, and it's okay with everybody, except it's not okay with God. Amen. And God has given us marriage. It's a blessing from God. And if you desire to have that husband and wife type of relationship with somebody, God's given an awesome thing. You just get married. Amen. It's pretty cool. He says it's better to marry than to burn in your lust. And if you have that desire to be with someone in that way, then you just marry them. Amen. All right. Anybody okay tonight? And then here's the other part. Once you get married to them, stay married to them. Amen. Yeah, it's complicated, I know. Now, I told you this is not an easy subject because it's such a real issue, and I want to say this from the onset in case somebody wants to get offended at some point. I'm going to try to tell you what the Bible says, so that if you have any trouble with what's said tonight, your trouble was with God's word, not with me. Secondly, I'm going to read some scriptures to you tonight that are going to tell you that God hates divorce. He hates the putting away, but I don't think anybody understands that better than people who have been through divorce. You understand why God hates it, because I don't think anybody in their right mind goes into marriage saying, hey, let's get married for a little while, and then we'll get divorced. Like, I don't think normal people go into marriage saying, hey, I can't wait till this thing crashes and burns. Right? I mean, people go into it with an expectation that they're in love, and they're going to love each other for the rest of their lives. If you're going to get married, that's the idea behind it, right? Amen. And so, if you've been through divorce, this is not a lesson to attack you. I want everybody to go away from tonight with a biblical understanding. But this whole series is about being under pressure and dealing with the pressures of life biblically. And certainly divorce brings a lot of pressure on couples, on children, on families, on everybody who's impacted by it. So we want to learn about that tonight. People go through a lot of hard times. Divorce is one of those hard things. Now, we live in a love-crazed world today. I just, quick poll, how many of you have ever watched a Hallmark movie? Could I just see your hands? Don't be ashamed. Go ahead and put your hand up. Yeah, there you go. All right. That was like everybody in the room that was honest. I'm just kidding. Okay, so if you've seen one, you've seen them all, right? It's basically the same story, but they're all love stories, and I love how creative they've gotten. Like, they only made like 75 Christmas movies that were basically the same thing, but now they've got the same story, and it's a Valentine movie, right? Like, they got fall ones and spring ones, and none of them are as good as the Christmas ones, right? Purist. I'm a purist. Okay, so, but we live in a love-crazed world. Like these Hallmark movies are painting this picture of people who are falling in love, and we've got all of these, it's really popular right now to have dating apps. It used to be just websites, and now there's apps for that, because there's apps for everything, and they're guaranteed to help you find true love. And everybody, we live in a love-crazed society, right? Because you don't have to be lonely.
That's right.
I was waiting for somebody to sing it. Come on. I know you want to. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah, so we live in this love-crazed world. Love and marriage are highly emphasized in a world today. And if that's the case, if everybody's after true love, then why is divorce so common in the world today? Why is it that we see half of marriages end in divorce? We see not only first marriages end in divorce, but second, third, fourth marriages ending in divorce. And so we want to learn about a biblical perspective for that tonight. Malachi chapter 2, if you'd find verse 13. And if you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of God tonight. "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I just pray that we can approach the word of God tonight with the right heart and right spirit. Lord, understanding that we have all fallen short of your glory, that we've sinned against you in many different ways. And we pray, Lord, that we would have a right spirit as we consider everyone around us. Some who have been through the tragedy of divorce, others who haven't and don't understand, still others that aren't even married at this time. And I just pray that you would speak to each of our hearts wherever we are and help us to have love and compassion one to another. And Father, we pray that from this moment on, we could just serve you from where we are. That where we are, we would be filled with your love and your spirit. Where we are, we would move forward with faith and obedience. Lord, just help us to leave the past in the past, to reach forward to the things that you have before us. We pray that you would help us, that everything that's done here tonight would be to your glory, and that you would help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Divorce separates what God has joined together. Jesus said in Matthew 19:8, "From the beginning it was not so." God's plan from the beginning when he made Eve for Adam was, "Till death do us part." That was his design in the beginning. Now, God hates divorce, but it's not an unpardonable sin. God hates divorce, but it's something you can recover from and go on and live for God. We have a God who is the God of restoration, of reconciliation, and he can use us no matter what. Those who have been through divorce and know the pain of it might have that feeling, how can I move on from this? How do I get over my past? How do I forgive my spouse? Or how do I forgive myself? We want to see what the Bible has to say about divorce. Is it ever acceptable? How do you help somebody else who's going through a time of divorce? What is the role of someone who's been divorced in the church? Like, what's their place if you're a divorcee in the church? Well, God doesn't want any of us to live in the past. And divorce is a reality in our world today. It's certainly a pressure point in everyone's life who's been through it. But no matter what you've done, God wants you to have his joy in your life. And you can. His joy is available to everyone. And so, with God's help, we can move on. Now, divorce is not a simple issue. It's not cut and dry. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are cut and dry. If you want to go to heaven, you have to repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone. He's the only way of salvation. That's black and white, cut and dry. There is no other way. That's simple. Divorce is one of those areas that's very, obviously it's touchy. I think it's one of the reasons pastors and teachers try to avoid the topic, because it hits home with people. And when things are personal, it's a little bit more difficult. Now, I think most Christians would agree that divorce is wrong, but a lot of Christians would disagree about how Scripture interprets divorce. You're going to find a lot of different attitudes about divorce, and I want to run through four of those with you tonight that different Christians hold about divorce. Number one, some people say that divorce is never acceptable. Some people believe that divorce is never acceptable, and they would point to Luke chapter 16 and verse 18, which says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." Now, Christians who take this position believe that divorce for any reason is sin. Divorce is not recognized by God, and remarriage is always adultery. And there are people who would take a hard line and believe that divorce is never acceptable. Number two, some people believe that divorce is acceptable for many causes, and that divorce is acceptable for many causes, and remarriage is permitted. This is number two. Divorce is never acceptable. That's a typo? It's a typo. Hey, thanks for not putting that up there. I'm like, put it up there, even though it's wrong. All right, what that's supposed to say is divorce is acceptable for many causes, and remarriage is permitted. So on the one hand, you have people who think that divorce should never happen. It's never okay. There are other people on the other side that think, hey, there's lots of reasons to get a divorce. Lots of reasons to get a divorce. You can always get remarried. And they have this almost completely opposite view. Basically, what they would point to would be 1 Corinthians 7:39. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." So people with this second position would say, as long as you're married in the Lord, doesn't matter. As long as it's in the Lord, it's okay. It's all permissible. It's all okay. Now, I don't believe that this is right. I think it's a misinterpretation of this verse in particular. It doesn't mean... Listen, if you're saved, then you should marry somebody who's saved. But if you are already married to someone and they are not saved, it doesn't mean you should go out and get a divorce. Okay? They believe divorce is acceptable for anything, such as incompatibility or desertion or anything. God is able to give us grace to stay married in all kinds of situations, even or maybe even especially when it's painful and difficult. We would do well to remember tonight that marriage is supposed to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. And let's just face the facts, friends. As a church, we're not faithful. We're not good. We don't measure up. We fall short all the time. And yet Christ remains faithful all the time. So even though we're not faithful, Christ is always faithful. And that's marriage is supposed to be a picture of that. Amen. There are those who would add to the Bible's reasons for divorce. And they might not say it this way, but what they really get to is you can get a divorce for any reason at all. And it's for somebody who would take this position, it's easy to expand the Bible beyond what it says in order to get the result that they want, in order to make themselves feel better about their situation or feel better about the situation of somebody else. I hope everybody's with me right now. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, your particular sin may not be divorce. Maybe somebody in the room or listening online has been divorced for the wrong reason, and you feel like you're being attacked. Well, listen, we've all sinned. Maybe that's not your particular flavor of sin, but it's somebody else's. So we understand that none of us are in a position to be in judgment of anybody else. Number three, divorce is acceptable for fornication, but there are no grounds for remarriage. Let's see if I typed this one correctly. Divorce is acceptable for fornication, but there are no grounds for remarriage. This view comes from Matthew 19 and verse 9, where Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now, this passage comes from a conversation that Jesus is having between with himself and the Pharisees, and they're questioning him about the Old Testament law regarding divorce. Now, the Pharisees had been practicing you could divorce anybody for any reason at any time because they had the law. They could just get a divorce anytime they wanted to. So you got to keep this passage in context in the conversation that Jesus is having. They questioned Jesus about the practice, and what was their purpose? To find out the truth about divorce? No. Their purpose was to try to trap Jesus. Their whole goal was try to trap him. Now, marriage was designed by God. And God never intended for marriage to be divided by anyone. But Moses made allowances for divorce because the people had hard and stubborn hearts. But it was never part of the original plan. I want to give you position 4. Divorce is acceptable on grounds of fornication. And in that case, remarriage is acceptable as well. Now, I know a lot of disagreement, and maybe some of you landed on 1, 2, 3, or 4. Maybe some of you are waiting for number 5, 6, 7, 8, because when you start talking about people's opinions, they are many. But this would be the closest to what I believe as I could possibly share with you in one lesson. Now, God never prefers divorce. God always wants us to find reconciliation. But God clearly gives an allowment for divorce based on what Jesus just said in Matthew 19. Fornication is an exception to the unbreakable nature of marriage. Now, just because it's acceptable doesn't mean that it's ideal. Just because fornication is a justification for divorce doesn't mean that that is what you need to do. God is always about reconciliation. But if you are divorced because of fornication, it is acceptable to remarry. Now, some people think that fornication just refers to unfaithfulness during the betrothal period. Now, do you remember when Joseph was espoused to Mary? Anybody remember that? That was a betrothal period, and some people would say fornication, well, that just applies to that betrothal period and anything that would happen there. But you need to understand the word fornication is the Greek word porneia. It's the word we get pornography from. Fornication is basically an umbrella term that takes in all sexual sin. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, any kind of sexual relationship before or outside of marriage, those all fall under the heading of fornication. Looking at pornography, I mean, all of those things come into that. So we need to understand that. We look at what the Jerusalem Council said when they were making a decision about the Gentiles, whether they should be circumcised or not. In Acts 15:29, it says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So they weren't wanting to instruct these new Gentile Christians just to be pure during their engagement. They were saying to be sexually pure all the time. And so fornication is an overarching term. It's a broad term that takes in. And adultery would be a subset. It would be something that falls under the heading of fornication. Adultery is a sin that has special consequences. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now, adultery is not worse than any other sin, but it has more destructive effects than other sins. All right? Now, in case anybody's starting to feel a little bit prideful right now, I want to remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, God doesn't just look at what we do. He looks at what's in our heart and in our mind. And some of the ladies may be like, oh, good, he's talking about the fellas. But listen, that principle applies to both genders. When you look with lust, you are committing adultery in your heart. Because God knows our heart. He knows the wickedness that's in us. So none of us are in a position to sit in judgment of anybody else. Old Testament penalty for adultery was death. Do you remember in John 8 when the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery? You remember that? No. The penalty was death by stoning, but that stoning had to be carried out by the witnesses. So Jesus said, whoever is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You remember what happened? Yeah, they dropped their rocks and went away. Her accusers were gone. So we think about this in the Old Testament. This discussion that we're having is what is fornication? Well, it's adultery, it's being unfaithful, it's sexual sin when you're married to one person, okay? And then if that happens, you have a right to be remarried, and if you remarry, is that sin? Well, adultery breaks the one flesh relationship, which is the essence of marriage, is it not? Matthew 19, 5 and 6. Matthew 19, 5 and 6, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Amen. Wherefore they there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So if people who are divorced based on fornication and they get remarried, are they committing adultery? Well, if that were the case, then no person who was ever remarried could ever be a part of any church anywhere. If that were the case, then nobody who was ever divorced could get remarried and ever be a part of a church, because you would be living in continual adultery. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. All right? Are you married? Then don't look to get unmarried. Amen. When Melissa and I started getting pretty serious, and I'll confess, I got pretty serious pretty quick. She was a little bit slower to get serious. Took a lot of convincing, Brother Bill Don. Thank you. God bless you. Bill Don was not in my corner, by the way. He's been around a long time. He was there when Melissa and I first started dating. He used to see us at the youth rallies and laugh and say, that boy doesn't have a chance. It's true. See, he's not denying it. When we got pretty serious and I was trying to let her know I was serious and she was trying to decide whether she was serious or not, we talked about marriage and we just had to talk about it. By the way, it's good for young couples to talk about what you believe and what your intentions are and all those things. And I wanted to let her know that I didn't believe in divorce, and she let me know that she didn't believe in divorce either, and we were having a really serious conversation about that, and she said, now, I don't believe in divorce, but murder's not off the table. Till death do us part. She takes that very, very seriously. Cause of death to be determined. Are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. What's it talking about? If you're married, don't look for divorce. Amen. I think one of the greatest things I was ever told as a young man looking to get married was that the word divorce should not be spoken inside your house. Amen. It should be a word that doesn't even enter into the equation. Amen. Just don't even bring it up. Now, a lot of couples, when they have arguments or what do we call those? Heated discussions. Right? I don't know whatever lie you tell. When you're fighting, that's right. Some people will use that word as a threat. They'll just throw it out there. I'm going to tell you that you cannot do that. You have to be very careful, very guarded. Don't seek to be loosed. Amen. Hey, fellas, don't throw that word out there. She might just be waiting to snatch it up. You're playing with fire. When we were at the men's conference, the Lionhearted Conference, one of the things that was taught in one of the classes that was so, it hit home with me. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are inside of a room. And in the corner of the room, there is a fire. What do you do? You're in the house, There's a fire inside the building. What do you do? Anybody? I got some. Put it out. Get out. See, that was my first thought. Fire in the house. You don't stay in the house. Get out of the house. It seems to make sense to me. Right? Especially if the fire is out of control. Don't stick around. Get out of there. But that's the catch. You can't get out. There's no way out. There's no exit. So now you're in the room and there's no way out and there's a fire. What do? You put the fire out. Amen. Listen, if you are married, there are going to be problems. Amen. She's going to be wrong sometimes. Amen. And you're going to be wrong a lot. Amen. And you're not even going to know why. And that's going to make it worse because you don't know why. Stupid, stupid man. Right? Hey, listen, I've been married for a minute. I've learned that much. Listen, when you erase divorce from the equation, when you decide I'm not going to look to be loose, then when the fire comes up in the room, you put the fire out. Amen. You can't run away. You got to stay and fight the fire. Man, that was so encouraging to me, so helpful to me. So, if you're bound to a wife, seek not to be loosed. Then he says, art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. If you're married, stay married. If you're divorced, then don't go looking for a wife. That's what he says. Now, but I want you to look at verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Man, I think there are a lot of families and churches that would have done well to learn this verse a long time ago. They carry around the guilt and the shame of having been divorced and remarried, and they struggle with it their whole lives. And whether they realize it or not, it has an impact on their marriage and their children and the church. He says, if you are loose from a wife, don't seek a wife, but, and if you marry, you have not sinned. You see it? You see, there's a Bible principle. And he lays it out beautifully for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That God has given us marriage. Now, it's marriage. Hey, listen, marriage is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. Everybody doesn't need a Hallmark ending. Okay? It's not for everyone. And the Bible's clear about that. Our society is not. Our culture is not. Our culture treats people terribly if they don't get married. But if you can contain yourself, and I try to use Bible language here, but listen, if you are not lusting after somebody else, if you're not desiring to be with someone else in that type of physical, intimate relationship, then just don't get married. It's okay. But if you are desiring that kind of relationship and you want to get married, you can get married. You haven't sinned. It's what he says right there. Thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Now, I want you to pay attention. You ready? Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. If you... Whew. There had to be one. Could have been more. Some of you other fellas could have amen that too and not left him out there by himself. This word trouble, literally, what's the title of our study that we're doing, Under Pressure? That word trouble literally means to be pressed upon. There are pressures in life. Here's the truth. There are less pressures for single people. A single person that isn't having the desires of the flesh like that, they're not having those desires for intimacy, the single person will not have as much pressure in their life as the married person will. So, amen it, because it's right there. Like, that's not an insult to any wives or husbands or anything. That's just the truth. There are more pressures that come from being married. There are more pressures that come from it. Whether you are a virgin, whether you've never been married before, or if you've been divorced and you remarry, there's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble. So there's going to be difficulty. Now, I want you to look at an Old Testament example and just to get kind of the heart of God a little bit, Jeremiah 3 and verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Now listen, God's obviously using metaphorical language here. He wasn't literally married to Israel and Judah. But I think it's interesting that God says, I put Israel away. But when I put Israel away, Judah didn't pay attention. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. When Israel was carried into captivity, when God sent judgment on them, when he divorced them, put them away, Judah didn't pay attention. They sinned in the same way. Amen. And so I just get the heart of it that there's something here. Now, a lot of people would say, you can't use that as an application to marriage, and maybe that's a fair argument. But I would say that it would be wrong for us to say that God never recognizes divorce when he says he divorced Israel. So it would be wrong for us. Now, it's important for us not to form our convictions regarding divorce based on what society says, what other Christians say, but we want to form our convictions about divorce from what the Bible says. Now, obviously, divorce is not God's plan for marriage. Obviously, adultery is not God's plan for marriage. But God always offers grace. Amen. God always offers grace. I've seen God do amazing things in marriages. Where terrible tragedies have happened, where bad, awful sin has happened, and God has given grace. And it's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a picture of God's grace and love for us. Because you and I, we want to look at Israel. We look at the Old Testament. We look at, see how bad they were. He said Judah was like they played the harlot. They were wicked. They were awful. And you go, man, how could they do that after God was so good for them? How could they keep sinning against God? And I understand the way you feel, but when I look at that, I feel like I'm looking in the mirror. Like, that's me. God is so loving, so gracious, so good, so kind, and I just keep messing up. I continue to be unfaithful, and he continues to love. And so that grace is available. Let me give you some practical things real quickly for those who may be faced with divorce. Number one, while divorce is permitted, it is not preferred. Divorce is permitted, but it is not preferred. God is the God of restoration. And yes, will he give an allowance for divorce based on fornication and adultery? Yes, but divorce is still never his plan. Amen. He wants you to reconcile. He wants to restore, and he can do that. Maybe it's not even adultery. Maybe it's just the spark that was there in the beginning isn't there now. Maybe you don't feel as strong of a connection. Maybe you argue all the time. Maybe your home is not filled with peace and happiness. Maybe you think sometimes about divorce. Maybe you've even thrown that word out there, but I'm telling you that no matter where you're at in your marriage, God can bring restoration. Amen. God can bring healing. Next, don't be the one to end it. Don't be the one to end it. See, no matter how bad things are getting, somebody has to be the one to finally say it's over. Amen. You just need to resolve in your heart you're not going to be the one. Not going to be me. I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving up. Not giving up. I'm not going to be the one to end it. Next, what do we do? What do we do if we've gotten a divorce without a biblical reason? What do we do? Well, we confess. We repent. We seek reconciliation where possible. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. God can and will forgive you if you confess. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them before him. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are some lasting consequences when it comes to serving in the church. It's my personal conviction that that if I were to, if Melissa decided to leave me without killing me, that I would personally feel that I was unqualified to be a pastor. I would feel unqualified to be a deacon. So does that mean there's nothing left to do in the church? Somebody might have the attitude, well, I've been divorced, so I can't serve in the church. Friend, listen to me. Maybe you can't pastor, maybe you can't be a deacon, but you can do everything else. There's ways to serve. God's grace is available. We need to understand that whatever we've been through can be the thing that God can use to help somebody else. You can be a, you can minister to others. You can give help to others. You may be uniquely positioned to help somebody to avoid the heartache that you've been through. What do we do when somebody else is going through that time of divorce? Remember the innocent. Remember the innocent. I can't tell you how many young people I've talked to who feel responsible because their parents split up. I don't get that, but it seems to be always the case that kids feel like it's their fault. Remember those kids. They've got a natural inclination to blame themselves. They're going to feel rejected, and we need to be there to love those and encourage those and just love on them. Sometimes there are innocent spouses. Now, usually, both people are at fault in some way. Like, I've never entered into a counseling with a couple who's having a hard time. Like, okay, he's all wrong and she's all right, or vice versa. Everybody messes up. Right? It takes two. But sometimes, there are those who have done nothing to end the marriage and the other spouse just walks away. And no matter how hard a person tries, there's nothing they can do to reconcile. They've just been put away. So we need to be careful not to judge those who have been through a divorce. We need to be careful not to think that we've got it figured out. Because I promise you, there are things that we don't understand in people's relationships. Next, we need to respect their forgiveness. People who have been forgiven for an unscriptural divorce are just as forgiven as people who have committed any other sin. Amen. Churches have gotten an attitude where we look down on people. They got a divorce. They didn't have a good reason. They didn't. Listen, there was no fornication. They got a divorce anyway. It says so. The court document says it was irreconcilable differences. They got divorced for the wrong reason. And so we want to sit in judgment of them. Listen, if they repent, if they confess, they are just as forgiven as you are. Amen. So what do we do? God hates divorce. It doesn't mean he hates divorced people. And we're to love everybody. Encourage them and help them. Too many times in the churches when we see somebody down, we leave them. We're like the Levite. We pass by on the other side. What we need to do is stop and help and love and encourage. Here's something that I want to help you with as we get ready for an invitation tonight. Our musicians are going to come, and I want you to get this. Sometimes we're scared to show somebody love when they've done wrong, when they've sinned. But I can love you without condoning your wrong behavior. Too many times we're scared if we show them love, then it'll be like we're saying what they've done is okay. No. If I really love you, the wounds of a friend are faithful. If I really love you, then I'm going to have the compassion to speak the truth to you in love. I'm going to be able to stand up and say, hey, listen, what you did was wrong. It's not okay. But God still loves you, and I still love you, and forgiveness and reconciliation are still available. Amen. So I don't understand us. I don't understand why we feel like we can't love somebody who sinned. If we can't love sinners, we can't love anybody. Who are we going to love? So we've got to love people wherever they are. If you've been down that ugly road of divorce, God will give you grace. And if it's needed, he will give you forgiveness. And if you can accept his forgiveness, then you can move on to a fulfilling, joy-filled life for Christ. Just because you've been through a divorce doesn't mean your life for Christ is over. You can move on in faithful service to him. I've seen a lot of churches where things have been really, really good. God's blessing. People are getting saved. Families are growing. And then it's like Satan just sets off a divorce bomb. Boom. You seen that? It's like families just start falling apart one after. It's like a chain reaction. Once one divorce happens, then another one and another one and another one. I want to tell you, friends, it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. Marriages can survive because God's the God of reconciliation. And what a great picture of his love. I want to ask you to stand with me. I want to say this to everybody who's here and anybody who might be watching online. We have been like unfaithful Israel. We have sinned against God. We've broken his commandments, but he loves us anyway. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins when he died on the cross. And far more important than your marriage relationship is your relationship with Christ. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to repent of your sin, put your faith in Christ alone, and be saved tonight. If your relationship is struggling, don't be ashamed. Everybody goes through hard times in their relationships. But humble yourself enough to admit it and cry out to God for help tonight. If he's convicting your heart, if there's any burden, any need, you come while we sing.